Ta'alofa and welcome to the Samoan Scientist Podcast. This episode I'm going to give you a PhD update and also a recent summary of my first conference that I've been to. Hi everyone, I am currently driving to university as we have participants that are coming into the lab as part of my research where we measure their metabolic health, and I decided to record the podcast in the car today because, well, one, my phone has been playing up and not storing videos and photos, and I'm just kind of feel like I've been all over the place this week because my Nana has been sick and just had a lot of stuff on. So I really want this opportunity to kind of just talk about what I've been going through because it's just been feeling a bit tough at the moment. So last week I went to the Pacific Medical Association conference in Rarotonga. I was so happy to go to. First time I've been away in a long time since pre-pandemic. And it was such a great experience. The conference, when you go to conferences, they will have main aims or themes that people will talk about, and I presented addressing the theme of primary healthcare and how we can create better model systems to address health inequalities. And my presentation was only 10 minutes, but I was super happy to be able to present because there were a lot of people who had applied to present. And I presented about my preliminary findings on my research, the Talanoa part of my research. So part of my PhD is exploring what are Samoan traditional foods. Now there's written literature by missionaries that has recorded that taro, breadfruit, banana, yam, coconut and fish were staple foods of Samoan people during the 1830s, and during that time meat was rarely eaten. But that is the only written document about our Samoan foods, and so I'm wanting to have a piece of document that is told by our people about our relationship and experiences with our Samoan foods. And so that's why I'm talking to Samoan women, the older generation and younger generation, to document these experiences. Because if we don't, then the next generations to come won't know more about our food, but also know more about our Samoan culture. So my presentation was just preliminary findings of what people were talking about. I had talked about different ways to create change. Sorry, that was my alarm. And a car accident almost happened in front of me. So for my presentation, I talked about going back to what we know, reclaiming our indigenous knowledge, and that it takes a village in order to create change. I wanted to emphasize to people that they could use those points in their own disciplines of research in the health industry, that indigenous knowledge is actually really valuable for our people, and we can relate to that information. And when it comes to food, you know, like I myself have been to the doctors, have been weighed and said, oh, you could reduce some weight, and they would pull out like a picture of a plate with food on it and like the portions of how much food that I have, and like there'd be salad, like vegetables here, and it's just like not so much. And so I'm wanting to create more knowledge around our food so that it could possibly be used by clinicians or doctors to promote Samoan traditional foods. So the talk overall was really just a way to elevate our people and just pretty much to say that our ancestors knew what we're doing, so let's just reclaim that knowledge, use some of it today that is applicable, and carry on, and let's help our communities by doing it our way. And for the first time, out of all the talks that I've done, that was the really first time that I heard like physical gasps and it was just like kind of like a wave of movement and cheer like throughout the crowd. And I think it was just really interesting because when we're talking about health inequalities, quite often we start with statistics and, you know, it's very negative, particularly when it comes around to type 2 diabetes. And I think it was refreshing for people to see like a positive spin on it and not dwell too much on the statistics and highlighting the problem that type 2 diabetes is a problem within our people. I mean, we already know that. And so, yeah, just really positive outcome from my talk. During my time in Rarotonga, I also attended other talks, did lots of networking. That's what I was really concerned about, was networking, because I feel like I'm really awkward and not really sure what to say. But it was really good. Like, for instance, they had guests from Alaska, and one of the people had did a presentation, and so I had a question that I wanted to ask but didn't have time to ask it during his session. So if you're having trouble with networking, it's really good to go and listen to someone's talk, and then from their talk create a question, and then afterwards that's a way to go and start talking to them. Like, I think I remember I said, "Hi, my name's Amy. I really enjoyed your talk. I just wanted to ask you about this." And that's how I did a lot of my networking during that time in Rarotonga, because there would be like a morning tea and lunch opportunities to really network. And to be honest, those were the best times, really, to be able to talk with people. And also they had like a cocktail hour. So if you're going to a conference that has either like a dinner or like a cocktail hour, or even just like kind of just showing up for lunch, those are really key moments to talk to people that to network with. Also outfits. Like, I had such a hard time trying to choose outfits. So since it's a Pacifica conference, I felt really comfortable to wear my pulutasi, which is a kind of like a formal wear, Samoan formal wear, a two-piece. So it's like a long dress, and then underneath it you'd wear like a skirt. So pretty much the offer would be that the pulutasi would be kind of like, you know, covering a lot of your body. So I wore that and with a blazer over the top, because oh my gosh, it was like raining, windy, it was cold. So I felt super comfortable to wear that. And I did kind of pick out other options, like with pants and things, just because I wasn't really sure what to wear. And so I think really whatever's going to make you feel comfortable but is also formal and tidy, when it comes to science conferences and my and like research conferences, that's kind of the vibe that I would take. But from what I've seen for other conferences, like business conferences, it's slightly more formal. But yeah, I for myself personally, for this conference, I felt comfortable to wear my pulutasi throughout the days. In Rarotonga, it was raining and windy, and didn't really... Oh my gosh, it was just like... Because you know in the islands, when it gets really windy and rainy, even though it's warm, like that's the worst time to catch a cold. I know just from my experiences, I'm more like... The days where I'm like, oh, it's nice and windy, like don't need a jumper on. Yes, you do. Like, you'll get the meanest cold afterwards. So I was wrapped up warm. There were a couple days that I had just to myself, and I forced myself to go into the water because the water was cold, but still got a chance to snorkel around, but not too long. But it was still super nice to be in the environment. Super grateful to have like fresh food and like Cook Island food. I really had to search for it though, I will admit. A lot of the restaurants are a bit westernized, but I did really search for like the Minas and the Roko, and like some fresh fruits and stuff. but I did get it. Oh, and at the market I hit new, I like, as soon as I hit the new, I was like, I feel like 100 times better. Like, why didn't why were they able to have that at the conference? Oh my gosh, don't even get me started on the food at the conference. But yeah, what I took away from the conference in terms of the topics that they talked about is that it's very doctor, clinical, nurse heavy, but they really talked about the nurses and really championed them, because I didn't realize this, that they actually take on so many roles, not just this the degree that they do, but so many additional roles, like pastoral care, mental health, being able to refer people. And in my research, I believe they're going to be key in helping disseminate the knowledge to our community, because really nurses are the ones that our community connect with. I also learned that which I found super interesting is that within the Pacific Medical Association, they have different groups, and within the groups they will call upon people to respond to emergency events. So for instance, when Samoa had the tsunami, they were called out to respond to that. Recently cyclones in Vanuatu, the flooding here in New Zealand. And what was scary for me is that they said that the group of emergency workers are currently preparing for the upcoming cyclone season, and they're getting geared up to respond to help our people in the Pacific. And that really made me realize that climate change is affecting all of us. And I mean, climate change wasn't really a discussion at this conference, but the fact that they said that they are expecting more cyclones this season just made me realize that these people are the immediate need, and that it's just a band-aid. But when we look at climate change overall, it's going to have such a significant effect on all of us. And so that was a really standout point for me. And just learning that there are teams that are deployed to help with our Pacific peoples. So these teams are made up of Pacific people, so they're able to, you know, relate, have that common understanding, cultural values as well. What else did I learn at the conference? I learned that not everyone, you don't have to attend all the conference. Like, I literally thought, this is what I did, like, I stayed the whole time at the conference, because I thought, like, you know, that's what you do. But then I would see people like on their laptops doing other work while people were talking. I saw, like, I didn't see people who turned up, like, for a majority of the conference. And so I guess because I had been to Rarotonga, like, I kind of had seen it all, but like, I didn't really know who would do that. So maybe, you know, if you're going to future conferences and you're going to a place that, you know, takes a long time to get there, maybe make the most of it and only choose certain sections of the conference that you want to go to. But even though I listened to some talks that weren't really relevant to me, but I still had some, like, took away some things from them. So I don't know, it's pretty much up to you how you want to do it. But, you know, I was kind of like, oh, I thought we had to stay the whole time, type of thing, but apparently you don't have to. What else? Yeah, if you have any questions around conferences or like any more learnings or summary that you want me to know, that you want to know about the conference that I went to, then just message me. And then I had found out that, I think it was the last day, the last day that was in Rarotonga, my nana had a fall. So I was kind of panicking, because I was like, oh my gosh, like, I hope she's alright. And then I found out later that she was admitted to hospital, and I was just kind of freaking out in Rarotonga, because that means it's very serious. And because she's so old, you know, it's so harder for older people to bounce back. But then, thankfully, she was discharged. Well, she got admitted at 10 o'clock at night and stayed there until 2 o'clock in the morning. She wasn't given any food or anything at that point. She was, you know, she was basically, she's 92. And to keep someone up that late, it was just really, yeah, it was just unnecessary, very traumatizing. And so they wanted her there just to scan her head and to give her x-ray to see if anything was broken, but thankfully everything was fine, so she was discharged. But when she came back home, she was very, you know, obviously sore from the fall, but very lethargic. And what was most concerning is that she was wheezing really, really bad. I think it may have been like emphysema, but also kind of sounding like fluid in the lungs. And so this last week, pretty much, sorry, the week that I got back from Rarotonga, I just said to my colleagues that, okay, I can't come in. Like, I have to help Mum and help Nana. Oh, and in that time as well, Mum got a cold, really bad, like, cold. So it was hard, yeah, for Mum to care for Nana, obviously, because she was sick. So then I would help Mum and help Nana as well. So it was, yeah, when she came back, you know, she wasn't that great. And the week passed, like, she has improved, but now she's using a walker, which she never used to before. She's very mobile, she's still wheezing and kind of like gurgling, being very lethargic as well, being very tired. One day she just stayed in bed. And so it's really, for me, it was like kind of really concerning, because it kind of feels like the beginning of the end. And also she's incontinent as well, which she never was. So now we've had to get pull-ups for her. But before, she, you know, she'd always go toilet. And so it's quite, I think it's a bit of a shock, because it's a rapid decline over a short amount of time, and it basically started from that fall. And so now we are just taking it day by day, just depending on how Nana is feeling and kind of gauging. And I told my supervisors as well that kind of just taking it day by day, not being able to do as much work as normal. And I think whatever you're doing, within like studies or your job, it's really important to let someone important know, like your boss, your supervisors, your manager, or even key people, even if you're a student, like key people that you see regularly that at university, just to let them know what's happening. Because my experience with challenges, well, just with family like that, my supervisors have been very understanding and very happy for me to put my work on hold and just do the family stuff. But also emailing and having documentation of it. When it comes to research, even PhD or master's, it's really good to have that as a document, because then you may be able to kind of claim back those weeks by having an extension in your work. So like, I had written to my supervisors about the cyclone and how I needed just time, and I also had counseling services, so that would also show up on my record as well. So just to have the paperwork there, it's really good to have. And so I kind of feel like I've been all over the place this week, just because Nana's needing more care, but I'm still needing to do participants during the week, and so it's really hard to juggle, like, that Nana needs more care, like, she can't be left alone too long, which before she could, because she could do for herself. So it's really having to try and work that around. So yeah, I guess I just wanted to share a bit of the struggles at the moment. Also had a meeting with my supervisors yesterday. Well, actually only two supervisors yesterday. And I said to them, it's the end of September and it's coming towards the end of my second year of my studies. And I asked them, for a PhD student, what should the last year of your studies look like? And they're like, oh, all of your field work should be done. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't even done all my field work. Like, I'm almost done for the Talanoa. I just need to recruit more Samoan, younger Samoan women. And then for the Kremaref study, I don't know if I will get the numbers that I need. Because I'm aiming to recruit 200 Samoan women. But so far, I think maybe only 30 have come through. A lot of people have emailed, but just in the last week, a lot of people have been pulling out. Just various reasons. Last 2 weeks have been quite bad. So I don't know if it's because it's coming towards the end of the year and people are like, I can't be bothered. But yeah, I'm pretty confident that we'll get the Talanoa done. I mean, I just have to get it done by the end of this year. And then that means that that's out of the way, so I can focus on the clinical study. But yeah, that's the update on my PhD and my recent trip to Rarotonga for a conference. I did a school talk yesterday, which was really good. I was so nervous for that. And then tomorrow I'm talking to the Auckland Diabetes Centre just to share with them my research that I'm doing. So there's a lot of clinicians, dietitians, nutritionists, and they often have these talks just to get familiar with the type of research that's going on. So that'll be really cool tomorrow just to see their perspective. So that's an update, and thank you for listening.